I have a couple of verses I wanted to read to start with, and I found out that one of them was used a little bit last week. It's in Matthew 18, and in my translation, it has an odd phrase to it, which we'll see. It's a little bit famous, memorized, where two or three are gathered together into my name, there am I in the midst of them. Or some might say, there I am in the midst of them. But in my mind, I always say, there am I. And there's a presence of the Lord talked about here where two or three gather in his name. Now, context-wise, they're praying, they're dealing with something. But this principle I wanted to grab and then attach it to another verse to more so deal today with the practice of it, or kind of how this actually happens, how this works out. And so for that one is a more obscure verse in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting in verse 11. Oh, this one, I just want to borrow a phrase or borrow a concept. You know, with the Corinthians, there's been difficulties. I mean, 2 Corinthians 6:11. There's been difficulties, and they're sharing and helping them through something, and there needs to be receiving back and forth. There needs to be, like, if we're helping you, you also are receiving the help. And if we're sharing our lives with you, you also are sharing your lives with us. So he says this in verse 11, "Our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. Our heart is expanded. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your affections. But for an answering recompense, I speak as to children, let your heart also expand itself." Now we have a variety of believers in the room and everyone. I wanted to read from just a Bible I just stole from downstairs, the Adventure Bible. Mine is adventurous, but so is the English of it. So verse 11 here, in a little simpler English, "We have spoken to you freely. We have spoken to you freely, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you." That concept of a wide open heart, or in my translation, our hearts are expanded to you. There's an openness there. There's room made in the heart. "We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us." So that was a hindrance there. "And as a fair exchange," or like do what we're doing basically, "I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also." So having a wide open heart for that fellowship. Let's pray together. Lord, we trust in you right now in this time. We look away to you to lead us and complete us and to speak to us and meet with us. We open our hearts to you, Lord. And Lord, we open our hearts to each other. We pray that you would bring us into the reality of fellowship and into the experience of your presence afresh. Lord, we thank you for being with us today. Thank you for this fellowship that we have, that we so enjoy. Lord, we pray right now again in a fresh way that you would meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. For me, the definition of church life or church experience, if I was going to just grab a verse, I think that verse we read in Matthew 18 is at the top of the list. The concept there brings it down to even if it's only two people, two or three. Of course, it includes more, but the simplicity of it is what needs to really happen is to gather in the Lord's name and something new happens. It's true that as a believer, as a Christian, the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, like it says in Hebrews. Or like Jesus, even when he gave the Great Commission, sending them out, and like in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, he's like, "I will be with you to the end of the days. Like, I'm with you." And the Lord's always with us. As an individual believer, like in Ephesians 4, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're stuck with the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, it says there in verse 30, but he's there. But there's something unique that happens when two or three gather in his name, and he can say in a different way, There I am. There am I among you. I'm in your midst now. Does that mean he wasn't there before? Not in the same way, actually. He's always with me. But if I gather with believers and I gather in his name, something special happens and the Lord shows up. And it only happens with other believers. I can't do this by myself. No matter how mature I get, I can abide and I can commune with the Lord and I can enjoy his presence. But there's a different presence. There's a largeness of his presence. And part of it, you could actually understand even logically, like, I'm not only gaining his presence directly, I'm gaining his presence from the others who are gaining his presence directly. Like, they're in his presence, and I'm in his presence, and suddenly, I'm experiencing Christ from the side as well as from the top. I'm experiencing the Lord from the believers. And it's like, I see Christ, but I also see Christ. And suddenly, it's like, there he is in our midst. And you stop seeing all of the believers only. You see the believers and you also see Christ in your midst. And there is like the church. Like, this is it. I just found the church. It's the body of Christ. Like, I see Christ and he's in charge and he's the head, but I also see Christ and he's moving in his body. And I'm recognizing him now as I gather in his name. And we've thought about this before, that to call the name of the Lord, to call out to the name of the Lord, he needs to actually be Lord. To gather in his name, it needs to not be in my name. You can remember what your name is like with the Tower of Babel. Like, when they built the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament in Genesis, they wanted to make a name for themselves. So that's the principle of the Tower of Babel. Like, in my name, we can do many great things. But it's all the Tower of Babel, let's say. Like, whatever is in your own name. And the Tower of Babel would be my opinions, my wishes, my desires, and basically my pride. Because the Tower of Babel is trying to reach to heaven to basically be like God, to ascend almost like Satan. So in the Lord's name, though, he said when he was telling them about the tabernacle and about the promised land, he's like, there's a place in the land. Once you get there, I'll show you where it is. And eventually he did. It was Jerusalem. He's like, that's the place where I'm going to put my name. It's just one spot, and they would put his house there. And if you wanted to worship him, you have to go where his name is and where his house is, and that's it. That's like his spot. It includes the cross, it includes the altar, you know, where the sacrifice would be happened. It includes his presence. It includes his opinions and his styles. When they built the tabernacle, it was always the big deal about it was not Moses' abilities, it was Moses' following abilities. He followed the directions. According to the pattern, he followed the directions. So this is like we're gathering in his name. All right, now this isn't all that I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to bring this stuff up just so we get like a general concept of like when we gather in his name. This is what he wants. As we forget about our opinions, we forget about our own kingdoms, our own towers, we're open to the Lord, and then suddenly we're open to each other. So what I want to get a little more into today, though, is if I'm willing to gather in his name, if my heart's open to the Lord, what about my heart being open to believers? I'm very open to believers when they are awesome. When there's no walls in their hearts and they're just expressing Christ, I'm just like, yes, that's who I'm friends with. You know, you can receive fellowship from some people just by accident. They like make you do it. They're just overflowing with Christ. But we need to be able to fellowship with the rest of us regularly, on regular boring days. There's a way of the glory of God to come among us regularly when there's no amazing message, there's no amazing prayer that happened, there's no amazing sharing, but there's Christ coming out. There's a little bit of Christ coming out. So I think there's a way to this. And this comes back to that scripture that I'm sort of borrowing about the hearts being opened to others. Our hearts are open to you. Don't like close off your affections from us. Open your hearts also back. And so that's the general concept. All right, so in 1 Corinthians 6, the temple of the Holy Spirit is mentioned as far as our bodies goes. He's like, don't you know? Now he's talking to them about some dealing with sins and not living in sin, but he's like, your body literally is the house of the Holy Spirit of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't act like he's not there. And that realization changes your life as far as sins goes, especially. You're just like, God himself has purpose to dwell within me. And I'm like a house of the Holy Spirit. It's like an experience of the temple. But earlier in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, he's talking about the church, and he's talking about seeing how you build with the church and how he built with the Corinthian church, because he was there at the beginning. And he said, I laid a foundation there. It was Christ. And he's like, see how everyone builds. And there is where he also says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. At that point, he's talking about the two or three gathering in my name. There I am. The Holy Spirit's within you as a believer, like 1 Corinthians 6. But the Holy Spirit is among us as believers when we gather in his name. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's different. See how you build, because this is the house of God. This is where God dwells in a unique and different way. A while back when I was thinking of this, and I wasn't prepared. This was years ago. And I was contemplating these things. The Lord was still working these things within me. And the title I had was, How to Listen to a Bad Message. So I totally scrapped that title, though. That's not right. But let's say this is a bad message today. Let's say nothing is amazing, and you don't hear anything that's new. How do you open your hearts to Christ? There's some people that do this naturally, and some people overdo it, and they're just amening everything you say. But some people have found this secret, and I don't even know if they know how they're doing it, but this is how it works. Their hearts are a room or are a place where God can dwell. There's nothing else occupying the heart. It's open to Christ. And if your heart is expanded like that, then when the little bit of Christ comes out, he finds a dwelling place. When Christ has a spot in your heart, and Christ has a spot in another heart, suddenly there I am in their midst. He needs space. And the space that he wants to occupy is in our hearts. And if it's occupied by other things, even good things, then it's difficult for him to dwell. He is like he's hindered. So, one good thing that was going on in my heart was I'm considering these words that I'm talking about while we're breaking bread. But the Lord quickly reminded me, like, open your heart, you know, because I was present with breaking bread. I was not preparing a message, and so with my heart open, I could sense the Lord's presence and I could fellowship with my brothers and sisters. And you know what that does? That makes a boring prayer, somebody that can barely get their prayer out, and it sounds dry on the surface, it makes it glorious. If it was Christ, you know, sometimes we sound boring, but inside there's like a lot of good things going on. If you're open to the Lord and that prayer comes out, the Lord can almost directly let you know, like, that was Christ, even though there was kind of some wall, you know, even though it didn't sound like super expressive, it's not necessary. It's okay to just barely pray out your Christ, your portion. If our hearts are open, we're just like, there's Christ. You get this the most when you care about a person a lot. If you've been, let's say it's your child or it's somebody that you've prayed for a lot and maybe you even helped them recently, you've encouraged them, and then when they pray, and it's even half incorrect, but when they pray, however it sounds, your heart is just so open to it. Your heart is so open to the Lord and to the Lord in them. You're so excited. I think then you're touching the heart of God. And the Lord has room in your heart to receive that portion of Christ. Now, he's receiving it himself, but as he's upon us, there's an openness in our hearts. Now, I've been in both spots, just talking about messages for a second, where I was the boring preacher, making mistakes the whole time. And one time I remember really distinctly, I was actually preaching the gospel and I just could not do it. And I was sharing and I felt a wall with the crowd, but also with me. Sometimes it doesn't matter if you're preaching the good news, it's so powerful that if you don't have a wall in your heart so much, it can break through everyone's walls. And unbelievers can be saved. Sometimes I've experienced that, but this time I was just like, oh Lord, I wish this good news that's so good in my heart could just be released, but I feel like I'm a hindrance. As I'm talking, I'm thinking of all this. I'm just like, Lord, can you just do something? And he couldn't do it in me. I didn't have a sin going on. I'm checking with the Lord, you know. I just had a little bit of Christ, just a little bit. And the Lord was doing something more glorious. And in the crowd was this believer whose heart was open to the Lord and whose heart was open to me. It was a believer, not an unbeliever. And this believer received what I said, received it. And you know how the word of God grows in your heart. Like even when you get saved, that word like expands and just goes beyond what you first received when you saved. That's life. It just grows. So the little bit of word I'm sharing, which was not so powerful, expanded in this believer's heart. And as that happened, she burst into tears. And I felt like there's the house of God. Now there's two of us. Two of us have this word. And there was a home right there. And another believer across the way received that word and opened their heart. And I could even sense it. And you could see it on their faces. Like the Lord was like, there I am in their midst. And his presence came upon the room. Not from the speaking, but from the hearing. From the opened hearts. If he's going to have a house, he needs those that have the space in their hearts. And so there's an open room right there. A month ago or so, we had a gospel time for some youth in Emporia, and I had nothing to do except the slides for the music. So I so enjoyed this time. So I wasn't sharing the good news, and I wasn't playing the guitar or anything, and I wasn't at the mic. And as I'm sitting there, it was so enjoyable because when anyone shared, it was like this, like, our hearts are open to you. In my heart, I just opened up to the Lord, like, Lord, I know the good news. I know all the facts that they're saying. Oh, Lord, I'm open to you. And as whatever they said, it was edifying to me, and it was being received in my heart. And this experience, I felt like, was the house of God, two or three. It just opened to the Lord. And I just sense like I'm just part of his presence coming upon the room because my heart is actually open to this. Now, if my heart is stubborn and I'm like waiting, which I've done this, I'm waiting for something really exciting to be said. I need like a really fun story. Or I need like some teaching that is new. I mean, not new like incorrect, but new like, oh, that's a hard verse I've never understood. And that can be used by God to open up our hearts. You know, sometimes he'll use a fresh teaching and you're just like, whoa. And as the revelation comes, your heart opens up. I've seen some speakers do that just on the regular. It was like their secret weapon to open hearts up. Like, here's a little Bible nugget you've never heard before. And you're like, wow. And I think that's useful. But what about when the guys have no weapons and they just have their little bit of Christ? We've got to be able to be open to the little bit of Christ. And so we ourselves can expand our hearts and make room for the Lord and actually receive Christ that way. There's a way. Now, we've got to have a clear heart from sins, and we'll get into that. But there's a way when someone shares, and they can even tell, whether it's for 5 minutes or it's like a longer time, they can tell that some in the room are receiving the Christ that they've got. The more and more, like, we're open to the Lord, you know what we're doing? We're gathering in his name. We're doing this thing of, like, allowing him to occupy the room with his presence. When our hearts are open, you know, it's not open to a human and to their opinions and to their ideas. We're only open to Christ. So there's a filter there, but we're trying to find Christ. We're so trying to find it that, like, even if there's a wall on the other person, we sort of are, like, knocking on the wall. We're sort of, like, breaking a little crack through the wall. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to me. I got a little wall going on in my heart, and there's some dear saint in the group that's just like, yes, I'm listening. Like, they're like, they've got a rope, and they're just pulling down a wall. I'm just like, there it is. Okay, Christ is right there. And they find Christ, because we're open to Christ, and the Lord is actually doing something more glorious and whatever's happening. You know, when we prepare for the breaking of bread times, we typically have somebody come up and share for 5 minutes or so, or a minute, and people pray about that ahead of time, and there's a few that are like, yes, this is what we should do. Do you know what can happen that I think is glorious? Is everyone who was in on that is in on it. And when somebody comes up and they open their mouth, there's like already a set of hearts that gets the burden. Because they agreed on it already ahead of time. They're just like, yeah, that's what we should do. That's what we should share. And as that's shared, it almost at that point doesn't matter how bad they do. Let's assume like no one's getting up and they're just not walking with the Lord and they're just evil people, right? Let's just say they are trying to walk with the Lord, but they stumble through it and whatever they do, they mess up. It's not as glorious as it was on Saturday when they share with everybody. Maybe they shared too much on Saturday. I don't know. But whatever, you know, sometimes you like spill your guts and there's no more guts. But they get up and they share and it's just like, oh, that was barely it from what I know is there. But if your heart's open, if you're one of those guys that already knew it, the prayers, the two or three prayers that come right after that are often like the actual opening. It's almost like a package because the Lord has a home right there. He's already got the burden placed in us, several people. And so it makes it so much easier. Someone gets up and they're just the stumbling fool. But we are fools for Christ. And those others like bring the Christ all together. And by the time you get going, like, there's a glory that's to be had in the house of God, and the glory belongs only to God. It only belongs to Him. And I think on that, for that reason, He makes us look really foolish sometimes. I've had such good prayers sometimes, and then I open my mouth and I'm just like, oh, that sounded so dumb, so bad. It just wasn't. And because of that, we shouldn't hesitate to pray. We don't wait until you have this bubbling over awesome prayer that's going to like change the whole room and everyone's going to have to take a breath after that. If we wait for that, who gains the glory all the time? Occasionally that happens. Occasionally you've got that prayer and just go for it. If you've got it, the Lord has need of it for right now. But normally you've just got your little bit of like, thank you, Lord, you forgave me today. You know, you just have your little bit. But as you do it, it's actually Christ. You don't have to break through the walls because you're part of the house of God. You're a room in the house of God. You're a space on the floor in the house of God. And as you share, others have the rooms available for God to be at. And as you share, they're just like, there's Christ. And it's like our hearts are open to each other. And He's like, two or three, here I am in your midst. You're in my name. You're open to each other. And His presence comes through. When we break bread, I think that's the glory of the time. I mean, on purpose, no one is sharing that long while we're breaking bread. Even if someone opens, it's just to lead a charge. It's just like, guys, I think today we're getting into hope, like charge. And then we just all are hope. Or it's like the love of God. Here we go. Or we're remembering the Lord's suffering. Whatever it is, it's just barely. And we don't even notice each other. We just notice, I remember the Lord. It's so glorious because He's glorious. The church is glorious when you find Christ in the church. Like when I first caught just a glimpse of the teaching of the church or the revelation of the church in the future, my catch was to do with the New Jerusalem. It was like some future time that there's no way this is happening now. It's like the walls are see-through because it's so perfect and everything. And it was a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But through time, you can see that glorious church is in our midst. Now, you have to open your hearts to Christ, and you have to kind of close your eyes to other stuff. You know, but you can see the glorious church without spot or wrinkle is actually among us because Christ is among us. He has no spot. He has no wrinkle. Christ in you is just so perfect. Your history in Christ is so perfect that when we get the glory of God, when we open our hearts to that, like His glorious church is in action. And there is the house of God. When we gather together for prayer, I mean, that's where sort of that verse in Matthew 18 is at. We're gathering and we're praying. And I can honestly say I learned how to pray here with the Lord's people because I had an attitude before I came here where I only wanted to pray if the prayer meeting was great. If the person who shared the burdens was burdened. Now, what I called burden was an overflow of burden. And what I've learned from the Lord is people are burdened and they're just not overflowing sometimes. Maybe they're having a tired day, but they're actually burdened. It's just kind of in there. And it's not always their responsibility to like overly express. Now, I think it's great if that happens. I think sometimes somebody can share with burden and we all catch it. And that's great. I think that's, if you're sharing a burden, it's really helpful if you can be so burdened. But I really learned here from other people praying that the glory belongs to the Lord. His glory is in his house. And he comes upon us, and he burdens all of the saints, a little bit here and a little bit there. And when we gather in his name, like, there he is. So it's not who's even leading the time. It's not who has such an amazing prayer. It's actually those little five-second prayers added up. And by the time you sit back and you're just like, nothing amazing just happened, but something of Christ just happened, and that is amazing. You know, like it's like that scripture says, like, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I see that all the time. Like, the tents of the wicked to me are just so large, like a circus tent, like just an amazing thing. But a doorkeeper in the house of God is like, another way to say it in my mind is, a boring day with God's people, just sharing Christ, is better than the most exciting day when we so organize it that we don't sense Christ. It could still be Christians, but if our hearts aren't open to the Christ in each other, everything depends on one person, and that doesn't always work out. Or if our hearts aren't open to each other, the things that end up happening are not Christ anyway. So when we're praying together, you sit there, and I've never even prayed about this topic, but my heart's open to the Lord, and my heart's open to that believer who's burdened on this topic. This week, I was leading a prayer group, and actually one of the topics, you know, I just don't watch the news enough, so I had no idea even what we're talking about somewhat. So I'm just like, can someone else pray to start this topic? And as they prayed, I just opened my heart to the Lord, and I could sense the burden in their hearts. It was so good. It was glorious. And I can join in with that because I'm part of the house of God. It doesn't matter that it's not my grandmother's green toe. You know, it's like if someone's burdened for their grandmother, you know, whatever. But this was like a larger topic that we're praying for as the church, and it's just glorious. When we're doing fellowship times, maybe on a Friday night for Bible fellowship, or like next Sunday, this is an open mic time, right? And people are sharing. Sometimes it's the most glorious thing. However we handle it, actually, a believer gets up, and actually, I think at that time, it's easier on people to share because we don't expect them to do well. So from now on, there's no need to get up and say, you know, I didn't prepare and I'm really nervous. We could just toss that aside. We all know that no one's prepared and no one's any good at sharing, so that's okay. But you get up and you share Christ, and then it's like, because we're so interested in the Lord in you, that you find it's very fun to share with God's people on those open Sundays. Like, just step up to the mic and share your just simple time with the Lord, and you'll walk away edified. Do you know why? Because there's some open hearts in this room that just so love you and are so open to you that they become the house of God. And as his presence is with you, it's also with them. And you're just like, there is the Lord. And I just shared my little bit of Christ. And then I sense that you received my little bit of Christ. And it's glorious. Those fellowship times are glorious. And you can't always, like, somebody will ask, sometimes we've had a time, they're like, who shared? And, you know, if I purpose to think, I can be like, okay, it was this person. Maybe I'll go back on the video and fast forward and I can tell you. But sometimes I don't even totally think about it that way. I just think, like, it was so edifying. You know, I can't even tell you what that person just said, but I know they were sharing some Christ. I mean, it came out messy, but it was so good. Because that's just what's going on right there. This openness in our hearts, it is something, though, to be developed. It's something that is practiced on the individual fellowship level as well. When we gather together, I think we should be like, Lord, I'm open to you and open to receive from others. But when we're fellowshipping with believers, there's something of a purposing to open our hearts to believers that I think we need to develop more and more. It's the way of fellowship, but it's the way of fellowshipping with those that aren't exactly like you. And it's the way of coming into the house of God, even though if it came down to the details, you've got some different understanding on the details. So kind of something that is brought up in the scriptures, like in Romans 14, is how we actually even receive believers. I thought it was great. Some of our brothers coming today were introduced as beloved brothers, you know, as believers. It's just so good to know, like, there's a believer. Now Josh announced his friend as a friend. I want to tell you guys, he's a born-again believer. He shared Christ last night. It was really good. Because sometimes friend is like a secret code word, like, this is my gospel friend, you know what I mean? But actually, we're friends and we're brethren, and anyways, glorious. So in Romans 14, he says, like, it's basically talking about when you receive each other as believers. To him that is weak in the faith, receive him. Receive that person. Not to the determining of questions, of reasoning. Now, if you go to the next chapter, he kind of concludes this thought, and he says, wherefore, receive you one another according as Christ also has received you to the glory of God. And I think this should be our principle for receiving each other. Has Christ received that believer? Now, it actually changes everything. What kind of Christian are you? I'm a Christian. And they're like, what type? What's the name of your church? What type of Christian are you? You know, sometimes I have fun with that question. I'm just like, try to guess. Ask me Bible questions and figure me out. You know, like, I've been called every denomination now, you know, because I just like a little bit of all these things whenever I find Christ. Anyway, but if you're doing it the way Christ does it, when he looks down, he's like, and here are my, you know, this kind of Christian. I don't even want to say them because I just don't even see them anymore. He doesn't kind of categorize us. He just is like, I receive that one, and I receive that one, and I receive that one. On the basis of his precious blood, they boldly come near to him. This one that's so confused with teaching, weak in faith, like just a mess, I receive him. But if you try to fellowship with someone that's a mess, you can't fellowship on teachings all the time because they're a mess. But you can fellowship on Christ if your heart is open to them. Now, sometimes you have to dig a little bit, and you might dig down to, like, how did you meet the Lord? Sometimes while I'm digging, I find out, okay, they're not actually a believer. That happened a little while ago. I was talking to somebody. It was after a Bible study I went to at the end, and I'm sitting down and having a great talk about what was going on in the Bible study, and it was like that experience that Paul had where he's like, did you all receive the Holy Spirit? It's kind of like that. You're trying to fellowship, and they can say a lot of God things or Christian things or Bible things, but you're just like, how did you know the Lord? I mean, that's rude to say it that way. Paul said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? But it was great because that bluntness allowed them to say, actually, we didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit to be received. And then he was just able to help them. When they're open to the Lord and they're like wanting to be Christians, but they're just not yet, you can fellowship them into fellowship. But if they're just Christians that are different than us, here's the thing I've been learning. It's not about downgrading to that Christian's level. You may be the smartest one in the room, but you're not the Christest one in the room. Christ is glorious. And he's glorious in a brand new believer, the same as the most mature believer. He expands if you open your heart to him. And when a brand new believer shares their little bit of Christ, it's not about like, okay, now I can tick that teaching off in my mind. Now I understand this, or I've been through that experience. Like, let's pause for a minute on everything that can happen in our minds and expand our hearts. And as you hear Christ, you're just like, oh, Christ. And it's just like he makes room in your heart and he expands in your heart and he found a home in your heart because you just heard Christ coming from that new believer or that confused believer. And there's Christ. I just found Christ. And then actually you're fellowshipping. You're fellowshipping. It doesn't matter that they're whatever they're saying is a mess. If you find Christ, like there's something that's edifying. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he's like, I'm so desirous to see you all. I've been hindered, but I want to see you. And he actually explains, actually, it's to have mutual edification. I want to share a portion of faith with you, and I want to receive your portion for me. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote this awesome 16-chapter Romans letter. You know, just a glorious teaching on the gospel and beyond. And he's saying, when I come there, I can't wait to be edified by your portion of Christ. Like, I want each of us receiving from one another. This is kind of how it works. So when you receive someone, you do it the way God receives them. He receives, you know, Christ in them. The Lord Jesus receives us when we're a mess also. So let's say I'm receiving a believer that maybe they are very mature, but they seem like out of their overflowing, abundant first love. And I'm just bored with the way they talk and the way they pray. And I'm just bothered. Now I have to ask a question though. What is Christ doing with them right now? How is he working with them right now? That's different than my stubborn heart that's closed off to them. I think they should be acting like this. They should be talking like this. They should be excited like I'm excited, or they should be whatever it is. They should understand more. But how is Christ working with them? He's so gentle. He's so drawing. He's so like working with us when we're in our dry times. If you've ever been in a dry time, you know like how he still talks to you and walks with you and carries you through, and he's still working with you. Us believers, if we receive each other the way Christ receives us, it makes a major difference. Now, if the one thing that Christ doesn't do is if someone is just walking in sin purposefully, it's all on the surface of their conscience. They don't even, you know, they know what's going on. Or if they're like sharing a bunch of horrific things against the Lord. It's kind of like in 2 John, toward the end, he's like, whoever goes forward and doesn't kind of stay in this teaching, don't receive them. So he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into the house and greet him not, for he who greets him partakes in his wicked works. Now, this is just a terrible thing to mention, but if somebody really went off away from Christ, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about receiving things outside of Christ. We're not, like, even if it, you would say this is a believer, but what they're doing, either they're just completely living in sin, like this believer in Corinth that had to actually be asked not to come to church meetings. Or if it's somebody like in John's letter, he's just saying, this person is teaching something totally different than the good news. They're confused on Christ. You don't want to just receive because you're open. That's the wrong kind of openness. That's not what I'm talking about. The house of God, like he actually says, it's kind of cool the way it is phrased, do not receive him into the house. He's talking about literally like they're knocking at your door, right? You got the two in the nice outfits with white shirts knocking at your door. And you're just like, actually, don't let him in your house. But he's talking about that. But in a way, if I can borrow that concept, like that stuff is not received into the house of God. If it's not God, it's not God. And it's not that we're open to like, it's not some like ecumenical thing where we're just trying to be friends with everybody. We're trying to find Christ. And if he's finding a spot in a believer, we should be open to that. And do you know what will happen? If we fellowship with each other on the level that Christ is currently fellowshipping with us, like our levels of fellowship will expand. And that believer who seems very dry, actually their feet do get washed. Their feet are washed, and then they're back in the presence of the Lord. This happens just on the regular. And sometimes what's needed is those smaller portions of Christ just to come out and to be receiving and to be sharing. So this is for me, it's almost like a testimony of a discovery. Like, I've been finding Christ in believers with all kinds of backgrounds. Now, the more we go on with the Lord together, and I think this is among us too, the more we go on together, the more we're finding more of Christ. And you know, your heart gets open to that. When you find a believer that's stubborn in their teaching because they've got a background that's told them a certain thing, and maybe it's incorrect actually, and they're really big on this teaching, but you fellowship together and you receive each other in Christ, do you know what happens as you have the house of God space in your home, in your heart, and they begin to have the house of God space, two or three gather in his name and there he is. Do you know the best way to get clear on teaching is by Jesus helping you? Seriously? When the Lord Jesus actually teaches you, it works. When someone else tries to correct you, even though they can outmaneuver you in the word and they can out-argue you and they can show you many verses, sometimes all that happens is they best you in your mind And you actually get a little more stubborn because you're just like, ah, I know there's someone else who could beat you in an argument, you know. And you're just determined to go find those other messages that you know of that believe the same thing as you. It's just different. But if we open our hearts to believers and we receive each other, one thing's going to happen is I'm going to get corrected. And I've been corrected. And this is a fun way to be corrected. It's like you hear Christ in someone so many times, and you're just like, whoa, it's not even a correction. It's like an upgrade. I just got expanded in teaching because of that person who has wrong teaching, but they've got a little sprinkle of rightness to it. Most wrong teaching is a little bit right. If you're like completely arguing with somebody and they're a believer walking with the Lord, usually they have something for you to receive. And the way to help each other is actually, can we receive one another as Christ is receiving? Can we actually open our hearts to each other and have some fellowship? So someone sees something and they're really stubborn on it, but see what they see. It's not always even the teaching part. Sometimes it's the feeling of it. Sometimes it's just that. But that's something of Christ if they've seen it. Now, when it has nothing to do with Christ, then I agree. Like, it's just, that's really bad teaching. But usually the age-old arguments among Christians, you know, even about heaven and hell, even about all of the basics, basically, even about baptism, all of these things, there's like, or how it works with God, with free will and things like that, almost always, if you find somebody's got a different idea from you, you open your heart to Christ and you hear them out. And you know what they're able to do? They're able to share. And they're able to be listened to. They're able to be loved by the love of Christ. And as you allow them to fellowship and share their portion of Christ, not determining the questions of doctrine, like it says in Romans 14:1. Like, don't just try to pick at where they're wrong, but you actually pick at where they're Christ. Like, oh, I just found Christ right there. That was good. This is super fun to do when you're studying the book of Revelation, because we're all wrong with Revelation. At least a little bit, right? It's all almost always. So, but I'm so excited to fellowship on end time things. And I'm, you know, I like to do charts and I like to go over it all. But when I was sharing with some believers a while back in New Hampshire, and everybody was wrong, including me. You know, we're just all wrong. But we were in the room, and you know what was so fun was the smiles on everyone's faces. And I can tell you, at least five of them disagreed with me. But they had so much joy in their hearts, because they're just like, we have found the way to find Christ in Revelation. Even when we disagree, we found Christ. And some of them disagreed with me right then. But you know what the Lord was training me to do was listen to them. And is there something there? And actually, as this sister was sharing, like something, and it was wrong. So, you know what I mean. But it was right a little bit. So here's what I received. It expanded a little bit more, or deepened a little bit more of what I had seen. And it was just a little extra flavor to it. I was like, oh, you know, that's actually pretty good. There's something there. Now, this part's wrong, but still. All right, so I'm not saying there's no truth that you can't figure out or that the Bible isn't very clear on. I think if we go the way of fellowship, we actually ascend into more and more clarity, but with some kind of peace in our hearts, some kind of joy, some kind of like, we can stick together. I mean, this is that basic thing that's talked about in Ephesians 4, where it's the unity of the Spirit, that you really strive hard to not run away from each other. You like diligently stick together. And like, it's really a thing in the church that because we want to just run away, because we don't see the same and we don't practice the same and we don't understand the same. But when you diligently stick together, by the end of that chapter, it's like you're arriving at the unity of the faith. You're discovering something. Anyway, this works because Christ shows up in his glory, and then our mouths like stop, and then our activity of our minds kind of ceases, and we see Christ. And sometimes you're just like, it's okay if I don't even understand this all the way. It's okay if we don't even agree all the way. I just found Christ. I was arguing with a believer months ago on how to help new believers be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, this is just a hard one. And we're going through this stuff. Or when does somebody receive the Holy Spirit? So this is the hard stuff. And all kinds of differences. There's a few of us in the room. You know what happened, though? The Lord broke through by his presence. And actually, it happened because our hearts got melted to each other. Somebody said something a little harsh, and somebody kind of pleaded like, oh, brother, it's just me. Don't talk like that. And then we just melted with each other, and we're just like, oh, you're right. you know what? Like, and we just started fellowshipping, and the Lord's presence was there, and I got upgraded on my understanding. It didn't change actually necessarily the teachings, but I saw the spirit of what he had caught, and it was just like, that's actually something. And I was able to better express what I wanted to express him. And even by the end of the time, it wasn't that we came to a 100% conclusion, but we found our way to walk together. It was so, so good. I know it almost seems probably like I'm just up here rambling with stories and illustrations, but there's something, and people are nodding their heads, that's sad, but there's something glorious in the church, and I just want to testify as a believer that I've found it, and we've been finding it, and I think I'm finding a way to regularly do this. And I think it has to do with the Lord wants space in our hearts to have his house. If this is the house of God, he has to dwell somewhere. And if you open your hearts to him, he has a space right there. When Solomon's temple was finished, you know, it took all those different parts and furniture and everything got in there. And then suddenly, the glory of the living God came upon the place. And actually, the priests who were ready to do their routines in the house of God, they had to leave the building. I think it's like that sometimes. I think that would be awesome if we just all had to pause for a moment because the glory of God stopped us from talking or doing anything. But sometimes it happens in a small way where when we sense the glory of the Lord, our extra curricular activities, our extra Christ-occur activities, our extra things in our minds and our hearts, they just sort of pause and you just see Christ. Like Peter had the right idea when Jesus showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. We need to make some tents. Now he was wrong because he thought two of them were for Moses and Elijah. But he was right because there were three of the believers. You know, there was Peter and James and John. And it's almost like the tents were in their hearts. And so that's why when God removes Moses and Elijah and he just has Christ, he's like, here's where the glory is. You know, the cloud overshadowed, stopped everything, and it's just like, listen to his son. But the tents actually were in the hearts of Peter and James and John. And the Lord could shine his glory because he had those three whose hearts were so open to him. Why did he just choose those three? Why did he just choose those three when he had to do a healing one time or when he had to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? I can tell you why. It's because their hearts were open to the Lord. This is a principle with Christians. Like, unfortunately, the 12 of us, we're like a big mix of hearts. But if the Lord can find three tents, three tabernacles where he can tabernacle and dwell, he can perform miracles. He can show up in his glory. He can do things. He can pray his prayers when he has two or three whose hearts are open to him. And he pulls us aside like that. And he's just like, I know there's a lot going on in the room, but open your heart to Christ right now, and you'll find the glory of the Lord. So I think on the practice level, it does come down to this with believers. It does end up being a thing that more and more we can train ourselves and discover while we're having lunches, we're having meals, while we're having fellowship. I think we will find Christ in the body of Christ. You know, this is our testimony. Our expression here is that we are just the Lord's people, and he's gathered us in his name, and we are just Christians, and we're actually for the whole body of Christ. And every believer who doesn't even come into this room is our believer because they're the Lord's believer. That's our hearts. Is like our hearts are expanded to the whole body of Christ. It doesn't matter if their hearts are closed off to us. Just like in that scripture in 2 Corinthians 6. Our hearts are expanded to you, O Corinthians, but your hearts are kind of stuck for the moment. Open your hearts up. That's kind of our plead all the time. That's part of our expression is we are one with all God's people. This is our stance. We're not creating a new separate single thing. We're not an entity of 100 and some people. We're part of the body of Christ, and our hearts are so much broader than this building. When we gather in this building, it actually gathers more than the building. It's actually Christ who's expanded and reaching all of those believers. That's why when a believer comes in our midst, they're already at home. Because the home is Christ, and Christ is at home. And if they are walking with Christ, it's just like, you're one of us. You're among us because Christ has received you. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, this describing a fellowship time, just a basic fellowship time. Now, one of the people that comes in their midst is maybe an unbeliever, but one of them is a simple believer. I'm just going to say, let's say a simple believer, just for the moment, represents a Christian that just doesn't get this. And they're only used to hearing a sermon, or only used to maybe even just not fellowship, not like God's presence in his people. But they come in your midst, and there's an openness in our hearts to each other. And, you know, it mentions they're preaching, they're prophesying, they're sharing. Hearts are laid bare before each other, before the Lord. And they say, God is among you. Surely God is among you. But to get that experience, we can't put it on the other person. To get that experience, it's on all of us. So my encouragement today was just, let's open our hearts to each other. He makes everything glorious. And if we do that, our most boring times together are glorious. And I can tell you, it has been a privilege being here all these years in our most boring meetings. Every time I've gone away, I've loved coming back. Every time I've traveled, I've loved coming back because I could say, like, I'd rather dwell in the most boring times among God's people whose hearts are open to the Lord, because his glory is here. His presence is here. And I think that's something precious that the Lord is teaching us and that the Lord is doing in our midst. Let's pray together. Lord, I feel right now that there are hearts in the room that are open to you right now. We pray that you would search our hearts right now, Lord, and see if there's any wicked way. See if there's any hindrance or any walls or obstacles. See if there's any unforgiveness. See if there are any thoughts against other believers that have created a wall. Lord, right now, we just repent from those things. Who have you received, Lord? Who are you receiving right now? Lord, our hearts are open to you, and our hearts are open to those believers. We just are making room for you, Lord, to have your house in our midst. We worship you and thank you for these precious times together. And for your glory among your people. Lord, we could say, honestly, it's a glorious church. There's no spot. There's no wrinkle. We see Christ. Our hearts are open to each other, Lord. And our hearts are open to you. In Jesus' name.